Perek Tezayin Pasik Chof Zayin. Perek Tezayin Pasik Chof Zayin. 27. Ish B'liyal Kara V'al Sifasav Ke'esh Tzorebes. And Ish B'liyal, a man and a detestable individual, he digs. He's digging for evil. He's looking for trouble. Who's looking for trouble here? He's looking for trouble. V'yal sifasav, and upon his lips this ke'esh tzareves is an intense fire. Tzareves is a hard word. Inyan tzareifa kamo v'nitzrevu bo, call upon him, all face will be burnt, will be scorched. So the word, the combination of ke'esh tzareves means an intense fire. Let's see the Mesudah Stavit Pasuk of Zayin. Kairo, dargoy in ish bilyal. In Ish Bilyal, by the way, Yolda Bilyal means Bili oil. Bilyal is a contraction of two words. A man who has no yoke, he has removed or never accepted upon himself oil Malchus Shemayim. That is considered the most detestable type of individual. He is kero, he is digging for evil, mitzudos, darkoi, lachbar ulechapes, tachbulos, lasosra. He's always searching, he's digging and searching for tricks, techniques to deceive other people. Lasosra lefnei adam, v'gam yarba ledaber divrei chidudim. He speaks, he increases to speak sharp, harsh words. Umachisim, and he angers people. Ki'ilu al sefas of eish tzareves, as if upon his lips there is fire. As if fire comes forth from his lips, fire is destructive. He destroys everything that is in his path. Rashi, kara ra, b'libay choresh hara, in his heart he thinks. We had that word many times in the pasuk. The word choresh literally means to plow. But in the pasuk, the word choresh refers to thinking. He thinks evil thoughts. Ki'al sefas of ke'esh tzareves, hara, the evil, ke'esh tzareves al sefas, like a burning fire.
I'm wondering if...
That's, yeah.
Koresh.
Yeah.
It's thinking.
Yes.
I wonder if it's like a furrowed brow. Thinking.
Furrowed. Well, that's what we had it. Yeah, we had it many times.
I'm thinking.
Mind. The mind is digging deep.
So
to,
when your brow furrows.
Yeah. Oh, you mean when all the lines form?
Yeah.
So you're saying that's what's called the Harisha. Very interesting. Wow, that's a very interesting idea. The folds on your forehead come together, indication that you're in deep thought. And that refers to a Harisha. Fantastic. It was Kedai to come today to hear such a Vart. You see that? It was all Kedai. See, I'll tell you something very funny now. The next week, I'm inviting Simcha Soloveitchik is going to be our guest speaker on Wednesday. I have just clarify. We're starting a new thing. We're trying to bring guest speakers every week. You know, Simcha Soloveitchik, he has a coil around the corner, Rabbi Schmidman Shul. And so I'll tell you, you mentioned this thing about. So I was in the shiur. I was once there, sitting there waiting for Mincha. And he's sitting there learning with the Chavrusa, and you know he's a very interesting person. He's very he gets all worked up, and all of a sudden he starts screaming with Koilos Uvarakim that he was Mechadesh today of Vart, an idea that is so brilliant. It was Kedai. It was Kedai. He has a Koil there about probably 30 years, at least 30 years. He has a Koil. The Koil for 30 years. It was Kedai. Just for this Vart. All the learning and effort and Yigiyah and Amelis that went into this coil for 30 years was Kedai just for this one Vart. Okay, my jaw dropped. I got all nervous. And he said this with Koiloi Suvrakim, as he was describing. And then he said the Vart. I didn't even know what the Vart was. I have no idea. But like I was like, oh, I was shaken up. Okay, very good. 2 weeks later, I'm sitting there waiting for Mincha. The same thing. He starts screaming. Start making all these sounds and starts to say, I came up with a Vart. I was Mechadesh, this idea. The whole Koil was Kedai. The whole Koil, all the Koil was Kedai just for this Vart. This time already, I didn't get so excited because I've been through it already. Okay? A few weeks later, Nochamo, the Zolbezach, with the same drama, and this I'm just sitting there.
You didn't check out if it was a
finish, so he has Chavrus, he has a Chavrus, a very calm person. He's sitting there with him, always learning with him, and he says to him, Reb Simcha, it seems to me that this Koil must be thousands of years old. Because every week You come up with a new vart, and it's cumulative. It's shakel kineged the entire kol. So it must be this kol is 1,000 years old. He's making latsana stuff, and he always overemphasizes the vart. Okay, but you said a gval gavar mechal. The furrow, the chadisha, the folds of the head, the person, the furrow, it's called the furrow, that's the expression. The intense thought caused the furrow, that's why it's called lashon of chadisha. So, ish v'liyal kar, the Rosh Rashi says, here, what is it, v'yal tzavaz, v'ki shereves, ha'aruch, ha'esh, so according to Rashi, obviously, the secret is that the tzadi we interchange with a sin. Okay, I think that's what Rashi. That's why the word tzoroves means fire. Soireth. The bays and the pay certainly can be interchanged. We all know that a bays and a pay can be in the Sefer Torah. The inside, the hollow part of the letter pay is the letter bays. Barzel. Barzel in Hebrew is what? Serevis, oh, fiery, like, so it's a fiery, red hot, a hot burn. So a tzadi, a pay in a bit, like barzel, is translated as parzela with the pay.
Because from Aramaic to Hebrew, and they're both the two letters are related because they're called closings. Because
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. And the tzadi and the sin.
Well, Arabic, they can't pronounce a P.
They don't have a P.
That's how you know when a guy's in Arabic.
That's a B.
You give him a word with a B. You can't
write. Right. That's, you know, we've discussed it before. Nablus.
Yeah.
Is Arabic because it's Napolis. Neapolis.
They change the bays to a P. To change the bays to a pay.
Or banyas and panyas.
Ah, banyas, okay, very good. And the tzadi and the sin are also interchanged. So when you interchange the tzadi and the shin, and you interchange the pay and the bays, so you get from the word tzoroves to tzorefes. Tzoref. A fiery, you can age tzorefes, a burning fire. That's what I just called. Rock, Eish, the Revis, Al Svasav, A, Ad, Shamotzi, Befiv, the government, he till it comes forth from his mouth. Eish, the Revis, Tsorovis, Tsorefes, Kamo, the Nitzrivu, Bo, Kolponim, all faces will be burnt. It means burning. Okay, so this is the Pasik. The Medrash says that this Pasik refers to the Nachash. The Nachash is the one that was called here the Ish Belial. Nachash wasn't a human being, but it was man's best friend before the Chait of the Nachash. And it was Koyre Rav Yal Sefas of the words that came forth from its mouth were fiery words, convinced Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and it was deceptive. Koyre Rav was searching for excuses to... looking for excuses in order to make trouble. Okay,
the Israeli intelligence developed a system called micro gestures.
Yeah, what does that mean?
You can see on your face a 100 second of a blink, or your lips, or your, like you said, kmita.
It's an indication that you're lying.
That you're lying.
Facial expressions, a mumcha. Yeah.
Used for interrogation.
Interrogation techniques.
Yeah.
You can tell that there are machines, and the machine scanner can enhance this by looking for microscopic emotions.
Plus, they use smell. It says Mashiach will judge you by
Reich, yeah. So they also have such a technique, technology?
You go through now the senses in the airport, it's basically a smell sensor.
For what? For chemicals?
For chemicals.
No, but what about smelling the person, his
smell,
odor, his body odor?
Nervousness.
There are certain types of emotions that give off for odor.
Right.
Fascinating. What?
As you walk out,
they give you deodorant.
Okay.
The smell of fear. Yeah. In the White House, it smells like chickens.
Why? Okay, let's go further. Ish tapuchos yishalach modon. And ish tapuchos, a person. A person who turns things around, a person who makes trouble. A troublesome person, yishalach modon, he sends forth quarrels. He creates quarrels. The nirgon, a complainer. Nirgon means a person that's always looking for complaints, always looking to find chesronis in people. Maferid aluf, he separates, he destroys authority. Aluf here means a leader. Maferid means you separate, you cause separation between the leader and his community and his servants. You cause authority to be disrupted. Mitzudos pasuk chaf ches. Ish tapuchos mahapich amorim. A person is mahapich amorim. A person that his words, he turns over his words. His words are korabi mashen nemru. Who migorem meriva ben abrios. He incites quarrels among people. The nargon. The word of nargon means hamis loinon. Acha maisa b'nei, the person that complains after people, mafrid min huanoshim es asara sheralehim, he causes the leader to separate from the people. In other words, he's complaining, he's come to find defects in his leader. When the entire day you're involved in finding all of the chesronis in your leader, then there is a breakdown in authority.
Is that a hypocrite, or is it a flip-flopper?
A flip-flopper, it seems. Or maybe it's both. Ish tapuchos, inside out. He turns around. What does the Mitzvah again say? Hamahapich amorim b'mash nemru. He twists things from what was said. He presents a distorted view of reality. So what is that? It's none of the above. That's not a flip flop. That's not a hypocrite. A person that just has a, he lives in his own world. He lives in a make believe world. He paints the world the way what he wants it to be. Like you said, a regular journalist, a member of the media, a distorted version of the world. He turns around words opposite than what the reality is. He is the one that caused quarrels to break out among people. That's exactly what the mayor said about the media. It's exactly that they're the ones that are responsible for all the violence, because they're the ones that focus on the minorities, on the yichidim. And they're not focusing on the Hamoinam. What?
But he doesn't.
Well, he's also whatever. He has his own trouble. The Nargon, Hamislein, again, the Nargon. Nargon is a very powerful word. You don't have this word too often, but it's a very powerful word. Venirgon. Venirgon means a person that makes complaints. Nirgon, you look in the Mitzvot and says, Inyanitiluna, a complaint. So here we take this, we put upon a person that likes to complain a lot. Hamisleinon, Achar Maisa b'nei Adam. He complains about people. Mafrid min Hanashim is Asar Shalayim. Ki Mordim Bo, the people will rebel against the leader. When a person convinces the Hamoinam that their leader is no good, that he is deficient. He lacks morals, or they are chesronos, we can do better. People have no faith in their leader.
Even if he just
complains. People already think twice. So people already, they don't have this respect. And then that the leader becomes their enemy. He turns their leader into their enemy. That's the aluf. The aluf is the leader. Mafrid, he causes a disruption, separation, disruption of society. Okay, let's go now. Who is this referring to? This, the Gemara says, refers to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov Lavan was the one that was the Ishta Puchas, the perfect example. He told Yaakov over and over, Akudim Brudim Akudos Nakudim Brudos. He kept on changing the terms of the contract. The speckled animals, the non-speckled animals, and all the various situations over and over. Hichlif Esis Marskuti Aseres Monim. Yaakov complained about Lavan that you changed my contract 10 times. Some say Aseres Monim means more, means 100 times. Different midrashim, what exactly that means. But he kept on changing, so he was called the ultimate Ishtapuchos. Yishalach Modon. What happened? Yaakov saw that his servants, the servants of Lavan, were no longer peaceful with him. Vayar Yaakov Esbnei Lavan.
Esbnei Avichem.
Veinenu Elaikit Mol Shulshim. They no longer were favorable towards Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Lavan, because he switched terms of the contract so many times, he was able to go and convince all of his men to rebel, to quarrel with Yaakov Avinu. Even his daughters he wanted. So the Medrash one more time over here concludes the Yalkut Shmoni, Lavan Harasha Shahaya Mishapich Al Yaakov Shenemar Imko Yamar Akudim Yisicharecha V'yaldu Kolatzon Akudim V'imko Yamar V'chulu V'alidei Kol Tapuchos V'shinu Yishlach Madoni. Send forth quarrels. What does that mean? It means he caused quarrels among his people. Mazos asisa li halavirachel avadati. I made a mistake. Madon really refers to, I made a mistake. Madon refers to the first part of his relationship with Lavan, Rachel and Leah. Yaakov agreed to marry Rachel. That was the condition. And instead he gave him Leah. And by giving Leah, that really brought up the quarrel with Lavan one notch. not one notch, many notches. What did you do? Yaakov, the only place we find explicitly where Yaakov bitterly complained to Laban, what have you done to me? I worked for Rachel. Why did you give me Leah? That, in the Torah's view, is called a madon. We consider that to be just common just conversation. But for Yaakov Avinu to have to raise his voice and to say, Mazosa, Sicily, what have you done to me? You have given me the wrong girl. This is what the Medrash says was a madon. And all of this started because he was dealing with an Arami, a Lavan Harami, which kept on changing the terms of the agreement. Yitzchak also complained to Avimelech about the wells.
They kicked him out.
So you want to also call the mud on.
He said, what are you coming back?
What are you coming back? You hate me. Vatem
sinesimosi. That's not called a
Muslim. Well, in this marriage, we're applying, as was Avimelech. Avimelech wasn't necessarily called Nishtapuchos. Avimelech was just Stama Rasha. He was an open Rasha. Lavan was the one who we are defining. We were reading Lavan into this passage because he was, according to all opinions, the Ishtapuchos. He kept on changing the terms of the contract. And that also came out, led to at least the Medrash of switching of switching girls. Then what's the end of the pasuk? The end of the pasuk is v'nirgon. The nirgon is the complainer. Again, we're continuing the theme of this pasuk of Lavan. What did he do? Here was Bonav Shel Lavan. He was the complained. V'nirgon Mafred Elu Bonav Shel Lavan Shal Yidei Shrognu Achar Yaakov. Lokach Yaakov Mikol Asher Liavinu Mitoch Kach Nifrad Yaakov Mehem Ubarach LeEretz Moladato. The end of the pasuk, according to this Yalkut Shmoni, is a reference to Lavan's children. Lavan's children were the ones that said Lokach Yaakov Es Kol Asher Liavinu Me Asher Liavinu Asa Es Kol Akavod Azeh. So Lavan's children here are the Nirgon, are the complainers, and when they made that complaint, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Yaakov Avinu packed up. He called his wives into the field and told them that your father is no longer peaceful with me. It's time to go. Mafrid Aluf. The Aluf here is Yaakov Avinu. He is the chief of Klal Yisrael. He packed up his bags, packed out. No more was he part of that. So this is a very beautiful pasuk over here. When you take in terms of the Chumash, we're able to read it right into the pasuk. Okay, let's go to... there is another other medrash, and the medrash here says that the word aluf refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ish tapuchos yishalach madon. This is just a simpler idea. This is in the Zohar. Okay? In the Zohar Vayikra. Ish tapuchos yishalach madon. And this refers to an individual who... a servant... The wicked people who are mahabchim es divrei haTorah oisim pegam lemala, people who pervert the holiness of the Torah. We can interpret this in reference to the current events. Not current events. I mean, Yom Yoma Ches Teves, when the Torah was translated into Greek. By translating the Torah into Greek, that opened up perversion, opened up the goyim to have access and to interpret it the way they molded in their own image, what they want to make use out of it. The wicked people who are mahapich, they overturn the Torah, yishalach madon, it causes quarrels among society, among the world, and ultimately, v'nirgon, these people that complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mafrid aluf, they cause aluf. Aluf here means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the alufoy shel oilam, the chief of the world, that caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove his shechinah from the world. Zohar, it's not a medrash, it's a Zohar. I'm reading over you a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic and the Zohar, that the people who take the Torah and pervert the Torah, they cause there to be quarrels among society, as we all see today, all the people that take the Torah and read into it all this corruption, they cause everyone to get worked up, and one thing leads to another, and there's machlekes, when there's machlekes, there's sinas chinam, and sinas chinam leads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, see you guys, I'm out of here. The Shekhinah will no longer rest in this world.
Off the topic, the Zohar is written in Aramaic. So wasn't Rav Shimon Bar Yochai
in the Zohar? We all, that's an old topic. We once discussed the Zohar. The Zohar was not the original Zohar was definitely not what we have today. The original Zohar, okay. The Zohar that we have today was a distilled version of concepts of concepts that were passed down from the time of Shimon bar Yochai, which was never put in writing, and even when it's put in writing, who knows exactly if there's a lot of discussion of what exactly was put in writing. And even the time, we only have the whole Zohar. We only have just a teeny fraction of what was originally the original tradition. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk, pasuk Chavtes, Ish Chamos Yifate Re'ehu, a violent man is Yifate Re'ehu, his kavana is to entice his friend to do evil, V'yicholichoy, and his goal is to guide him, B'derech Lo Tov, to take him on a path that is no good. Lo tov heyos adam levado. What's lo tov? According to Asur and Sef, lo tov means he should go at it alone. The goal, you don't have to destroy a person. All you got to do to destroy a person is, just like when Torah says, lo tov is a code in the Torah. Lo tov heyos adam levado. Being alone is called lo tov. So when you marry, you're not alone. But when you're part of a community, you're part of a society, you're part of a chevra, and you are now taken out of that chevra, you go on it alone, you make your own party, right? You talk about current events. You go on it alone. That is called lo tov. You're all alone.
You have a current events. The people, the Anshei Hamas,
yeah,
convinced the neighbors,
yeah,
they should go on away, which is not good for them.
That's
exactly what happened in the summer.
Should go in a way that's lo tov. Okay.
Okay.
The Anshei Hamas, Yifate Re'eh. They convinced their citizens, their friends, the Alichon, and brought them on a derech lo tov. I want to tell you another idea. A different idea is lo tov. Lo tov is a code for alone, to separate yourself from your chaverim. When a person is part of a group, you're protected. You're sheltered. There's some safety net being part of a chavura. When you're all alone, then you are vulnerable. So this is... So that's what the pasuk means. A violent man, you don't have to go and convince your friend to do evil, to go and become a suicide bomber. All you got to convince your friend in order to cause him to lose it, to lose his success, is he should just act alone, be part of a... be part of society. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Chavtes Yifater Eula Echoyz Gamuhu B'Daki Chamas. He entices his friend that he should also take hold of violence. Umalichob Dech Loitov Limso Chaver Liatzmo, to find a Chaver Liatzmo, to find, according to the Mitzvah, some interpretation, to find a Chaver, an evil person. A Chaver means a friendly Atzmo for himself that is like him, evil. Okay, that's. Well, that was because the whole world was in kfira, in a chanani. Okay, that there are of course exceptions, but generally speaking, it's always good to be part of a larger group. When you're part of a larger group, there's a safety net. We all know this. Pashut.
Safety in numbers.
There's always something being part of a group. We all know that when you daven at home. I don't know about you, but daven with a minion, you go to shul. Ein edoyme davening at home. When you're davening at home, you daven all shachas 10 minutes. When you go to shul, it takes you at least 25 minutes. Even if you come late, you leave early. Why? You're part of it. You just somehow, when you're part of a group, it's a whole different thing. Everything in life is like that. If you go and you learn alone, it's no good. You're part of a group. And when it comes to safers, there are a lot of safim out there that work alone. It's very common. Safim, they work in their basement. When it's quiet, you bring them tefillin to check, or they write Sefer Torah. A lot of people, it's a very, very bad thing. It's not a good thing. If you want to have your tefillin checked, you have to go to a place where they have teams of people working together. And every time I know there are places, sometimes we're talking about their seifrim who write, they work professionally, they write mezuzahs. They bedafka work as a team. They sit together as a team. Because, especially in safras, it can be very boring. And if you're all alone, all of a sudden you don't even know what you're doing, you can start really.
There's a very good place in Crown Heights, in Cincinnati,
yeah.
I have
a team.
There are a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's very choshev. I know. I used to go to certain cyphers. I used to bring them my tefillin. In the basement, I come in there, what's going on over here? All right, it's a very good reputation. It's not really this main thing. Is not really checking, but yeah, and then I come to pick it up. And then I go to Tiferes Stam. Very impressed there. They charge a lot more money. It's expensive. Tiferes Stam. But you go upstairs, there's a team. There could be sometimes there, four or five people all working together, one guy, and they all work together as a chaburi. Each one is mechazek the fellow. All you got to do to destroy a person is, you work alone, you work privately.
Shadness.
What? Yeah. They have a team there? They have a team. It's a whole different environment. It's a whole different world. Even you go I have a paint. Someone comes to paint your house. You have one guy. One person works alone. He's slow and you have two people working together. Each one is mechazik. They get the job done half the time. Not just half, even more than half the time, because there's certain chizik. That's what the pasuk here says. Loitoiv is a code for being alone. Loitoiv heyois adam levado. Next, pasuk lamed. Otze einov lachshev tapuchos. This is a great pasuk. A person, he closes his eyes to think tapuchos, to think how to trick people. In other words, he davens Shemoneh Esrei a few times a day with his eyes closed. During Shemoneh Esrei is when you have all the time to think and plan and plan your day. Yeah, I'm just joking. Oitze eitze, a person who's in deep thought. A person who's immersed in deep thought, he typically closes his eyes. Oitze eina lachashev, to think tapuchos, think corruptly. Koyret sefasav, he winks. He winks with his lips. Kila ro'ah, to finish off evil. Let's see mitzudas. Pasuk lamed. Oitze. Oitze means hasoisem einof. To close your eyes, lachshev, to think, lachapoich amarim, to say corrupt things. Here we have a parenthesis to explain what this means. Ki, derech hamamik, a person who's in deep thought, lachshev ma, a person who's in deep thought, to think about something very profound, yistayim oz einav, he closes his eyes, lebal, yilbalbelu oisoy devodim hanir, in order that he should not be confused with things that can be seen, distracted. Shema Yisrael. Right? When you say Shema Yisrael, what's the reason why this week's parasha? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. This is what Yaakov Yisrael, Klal Yisrael said to Yaakov Avinu when he asu v'agidu lechem eis sheikur b'achas hayamim. They said Shema Yisrael, you close your eyes. Why do you close your eyes? Not to be distracted. This is the minhag Yisrael. What? To concentrate, but more is not to be distracted. Interestingly, Yaakov Avinu, we mentioned yesterday that Yaakov Avinu, we also create Shema Litzik's parasha, and what did he say? He said, we don't know, he says, Amusa hapam achre asher ra'isi esponecha. Yaakov opened up his eyes. After I see you, now I can die. Chazal say, according to what that was, his Kriya Shema. Yaakov Avinu, he saw Yosef. And Yosef cried upon his neck, but Yaakov did not cry because Yaakov was busy saying Kriya Shema. What was the Kriya Shema? So some say he said Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We discussed this week Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael. Listen to Klal Yisrael. But others say, I think you know who says this? Rav Nissen Alpert. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Nissen Alpert says, what was the Kriya Shema? The Kriya Shema of Yaakov Avinu was the pasuk Amuso Hapoam. Acharei asher ro'isi esponecha. Now I can die. What do you say when you say Kriya Shema? You're willing to give up your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol medecha. Rabbi Akiva, when they killed Rabbi Akiva, when did he die? Yatsa nishmasai be'echad. Rabbi Akiva gave up his life, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I'm kabel upon myself, O Malchus Shemaim, ad k'dei kach, to give up my life, the ultimate. So that's exactly what Yaakov Avinu said. Amuso ha'poam, Acharei asher ro'isi panecha, after I see that you're alive, I can now, my tafkid, I've achieved my goal in this world to raise the shiftei kah medeshrat malchut. He develops this. But one very fascinating thing that comes out according to the idea of Rav Nissen Alpert, that the Kriya Shema of Yaakov Avinu was the Musa Apam, the focus is acharei asher ro'osi, is to see your face. When we say Kriya Shema, we bedavka to say Kriya Shema by closing, by not seeing, by covering our eyes. Ein adoyme, when you to close your eyes, that's a different type of Kriya Shema. But here we have a person, Rashi tells a person that's concentrating, he's oitze einav lachashayv tapuchos, koreitz sefasav kilorov, next words of the Mesudas, koreitz haminad neid bisvasa, a person that murmurs with his lips, lirameis lashon hara, to hint to lashon hara, Kilo Ra. Okay, so over here, Karitz means he winks. The Chavetz Chaim always talks about this expression, a person who moves his mouth. Kilo Ra, he nezeg gemar hara she chashav aleha, ki ramza v'asa maisa. That already is the end. Once already his lips have moved, before he speaks Lashon Hara, he had already to plan. Lashon Hara doesn't just come accidentally. It comes through a long... It's premeditated. So already, if the lips already have moved, the Karitz sifas off.
Know what a wink
would be. No, so no, wink means to actually speak. I think over here he's saying according to the Mitsudos, at least in his interpretation, Karitz is just a fancy, it's an elaborate form of speaking. Karitz, when you speak, your lips move. So to someone who's not listening, doesn't hear the sound, it looks like it winks. What?
Both of us think it means a smirk.
A smirk. No, but the
another possible.
It smirks. Okay, a smirk of it, but it, okay, fine. So that smirk already has done damage because the people are watching that smirk and it's causing his body language is causing harm to the victim. So this is premeditated. Okay,
yeah.
It's premeditated. Let us see the Rashi. Rashi. There is no Rashi. Rashi is loud. Pasuk Lamno. It's enough. Lashon Kiritza. It means to wink. I will wink my eyes upon you. So Rashi appears to be disagreeing with the parish of the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos clearly says it means to close. A person is deeply in thought. A Rasha is deeply engrossed in thought and plan how to harm his fellow. Rashi disagrees. Rashi holds that the first part of the pasuk is consistent with the end of the pasuk. It means to wink with your eyes. Kila ra kmo kol seilav hara. It's already been decided. It's complete. The goymer, the goyim lavoi ro la'olam, he causes evil to come. The plan has been implemented. It has been dispatched. The plan, the kilo ra, by Karet Sefasov, kilo ra, the evil has now gone forth into the world. Pasik lamid aleph, ateres teferes seva. Okay, this is a beautiful pasik. It is a crown of beauty, old age. Seva is old age. Bederech tzedakah timatzeh. You will only find the bracha of old age by people who follow on a path of righteousness. Timatzeh, to read those words backwards, timatzeh will be found. This beautiful gift called seva will be found by people who are bederech tzedakah, who travel in life the path of righteousness. Let's see the Mitzvot of Lamed Aleph. Ateres. Ha'hoylech, so Rashi is reading the entire pasuk backwards. Ha'hoylech bederech tzedakah, a person who travels in the way of righteousness. Timtzeh ateres teferes, will discover a crown of beauty. Of what? The crown of beauty of seva. Ki yirbe yamim bigedula v'teferes, he will have a long life with greatness, with goodness and splendor. Rashi, bederech tzedakah timotzei, al yidei hatzedakah marichin yimehem fitzedakah, tzedakah tatzil mimaves. And with all the various brachas that we find, that tzedakah brings bracha, brings life to a person. A person will be zechah to a crown of beauty. Now we live in a world today where old age is not considered to be anything near a teres to feres. There are death squads waiting in the health system, death panels waiting in the system. And in society, anytime there is an opening, it's always a mila. It's funny, I was talking to one of my friends, talking about people being passed over for a partner in the law firm where he works, and it's always youth. Always looking for young people, put someone in the position of leader to become a CEO, become, he should be 30 years old. And it's such a chaval because the people who are in their 60s are the ones that really have the experience, and it's worth every penny you'll have to pay them. Oh, so it's worth it. That's the exactly. So the 30-year-old, 30-year-old will work cheaper, but 30-year-old doesn't know, has no clue, has no idea, has no clue what he's doing. So unfortunately, this is the way society is set up, where they don't know from this pasuk. Ateres teferes seva. I never heard of this pasuk, and it goes on by the goyim, goes on by us, and it's true as well that this approach to doing away with old people who have age and experience, has entered into the world of Torah, and when you look for a new Rav, and when you look for a new Rashiva,
you can't be a Rav Rashi over the age of 70.
You got to take someone that's 18 years old, because young and fresh and vibrant, and the experience that comes with age is not something that is appreciated, valued. And the Pasuk here says that's not true. A teres teferes seva. It's a crown of beauty. It's a crown of beauty. Someone told me a certain new community. I went to the community, told me, I asked him, hey, Dr. Frucht, I was just...
Like an 88, not Lahafia, yeah. The Arab world, but they elected an 88-year-old president in Tunisia.
Well,
those
aren't real elections.
No, that was a real...
The Pope is 78.
What? Oh, you know, that's a kitrug on us because they were looking for candidates. They're all going to be very, very young, and the last two times they took older people. Is that really? Well, they wanted someone. I don't know if that's really true.
They picked an old guy who wouldn't be long enough to make major changes.
To make trouble. I'm not so sure. But there's something. There is something to it, to experience. What was it was one of the best lines Reagan had. Reagan, when he was running for president, or running for president, who was he running against? Was it Carter? No, the next one.
Bush.
The next one.
The first time was Carter, the second time was Dukakis.
So when he debated Dukakis, so they were saying that already you're too old. They were complaining, they were murmuring, you're too old, Reagan, you're a Zuckin. He was already shot. What was that? So he says, what do you think about age? They asked him, during the debate, what do you think about, you know, you're already on in your years? What do you think about the age factor?
Yeah.
I'm not going to use age
against my opponent,
his youth and his inexperience. I'm not going to exploit the fact that he is young and he's inexperienced. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I'm the Zaken, the seasoned mumcha. You can look up this clip, go on YouTube. It's phenomenal. And everyone started laughing hysterically. And he took a question that potentially could have destroyed his campaign, and did he turn it around like no politician ever did. This is the mushel of a koyach of a politician to take a chasaron and to use it as an opportunity.
Ishtapuchos.
Okay, but there's some truth to it as well. Now, where does this come from? It all comes from Avraham Avinu. The two classic examples given by Chazal are Avraham and David. The two individuals that are called Zokain, the Avraham Zokain Bo Bayomim, the Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. And the truth, it goes together. Bakol, why was it the Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol? It's because he was a Zokain. When you're young, you don't have kol. You have a lot. You may have a lot, you may have a little, but in order to reach a darga of Beirach, of Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol, you have the big picture, you have everything, and you can accomplish, you have to be a Zokin. Because with age, Masha Yaseh Hazman Lo Yaseh HaSeichel. Time, there's something, an advantage that Zikna brings with it, experience that youth does not carry. Who the other example given is David. V'amelech David Zokin. The King David, now this we typically interpret this as being something that's no good. He was sick, they had to bring an Isha, the Avishak Hashunamis, but Chazal have a very positive note. They view that David, he was Zoyche. It's not the pshat that Nebuch, David was Zokain, and we have an old king that's sitting in the palace that's not well, and therefore the whole Klal Yisrael is now suffering. Pumfaker Chazal said this was a Shevach to Klal Yisrael that they had a king that was Zokain. So talking about a new community. He says the problem in the community is we have no Zakanim. It's a big community. I don't want to say which community, but he told me, I live in this place, it's great, we have everything you can possibly imagine. The only thing we're missing is Zakanim. You come to Shul, the Shul is packed. You know, there's something to it when you have this Rechvant, you have some Zakanim. It adds some respect, some dignity, some chashivas to the community. And it's so true. I remember when I was in Chaim Berlin, as a bacher, many years ago, a long time ago, there was Zakanim. There was Zakanim, and then now there is Zakanim also, because the people that I know got a little bit older. But you know, those Akedim, they were not there that much longer. A lot of them, they all come out, all passed away, and the others moved away. And then it's just young people, relatively speaking. And it's definitely, I think back the memories of those days, and they were all these Akedim. They say about your father, Mr. Abulo, your father. Someone told me about that. I was talking to Rabbi Perla. He's an old Chaim Berliner. So he says that there was a table in old Chaim Berlin with that three Zakenim, your father, and two other people. I don't know. This before my time. And Rav Hudner gave your father Levi on Yom Kippur, Yoina, Mafter Yoina, before Mafter Yoina, Sheni.
He respected
him, but he told me that in the later years he remembers it, he thinks about the old Chaim Berlin. He always thinks about that table, the chashivas of zakenim. You have chashuvim. I don't know if you follow, maybe relative to this person. I don't know. And then we follow the zaki, whatever it was. But there's something to it. And I remember those days, the whole back table and this part. And unfortunately, you go into shul, you don't have that. It's definitely lacking, and this is a very...
Unfortunately, the reverse is more common, that more shuls are populated by an older population.
But only older people, and no young people. Only young people. There are a lot of old... It's a clique. Or every shul in this community is a clique. It starts out with 30, 40 families, and that's it. That's the way it is. And they get older, and the new young people don't join. They only come there to visit. They don't come. Logor ba'aretz banu. We're only gay, and we're not here as residents. What?
There were two old guys in Miami, and one looks to the other and says, "Look around you. Look at all these old people here.
Old people.
We're the only ones who are young."
The Wall Street Journal had an article very interesting. The difference between Facebook and Woody Hire and Google.
Yeah.
Facebook, there are people in their 20s. By your 30s, you're already an old person. You're out the door.
And Google?
You're burned out. Google, they take the people that are 30-year-old. And they want them. And they hire them.
They pay them. They can afford to pay them.
No, but Facebook has a philosophy by 20...
You're burned out.
Facebook has all the things. They don't have supervision. They don't have supervisors who tell you what to do. They don't give you orders. They want you to be creative. Do your own thing. And they figure 20-year-old people...
But Facebook is a marshal connected Google. Google is they're into everything. Google, they're into satellites. They're into controlling the world. They don't even know things that they're doing.
Amazon too.
But Facebook is just a little. Everyone is very worried about Facebook. Facebook can just disappear off the face of the earth in 5 minutes. They're not diversified. So Facebook, maybe it's a different. What? So don't invest in Facebook. They're very good to their people.
Get free lunches.
They give free everything. They give you
even from people. They bring Abigail's.
Yeah, too, just about.
They bring in Abigail's.
They bring Abigail's.
Yeah. Okay. The chefs from Abigail's to cook them lunch.
Cook them lunch. The people who are the from people in Google. Wow. That's expensive. That's not cheap stuff. All right. So this is a very important pasuk, which is very kedai to dwell upon this idea of ateres teferes seva b'derech tzedakah timotzei Rashi. We did the mitzudas. We did the mitzudas. Rashi b'derech tzedakah timotzei idea hatzedak. We did that in Rashi as well. Okay, let me read you a little of the midrashim. The little midrashim is, when did zikna come into the world? We know. I'll read you here what it says. The Avraham Zaken. Where is this medrash? This is in the Tanchuma. The Avraham Zaken. Ba bayomim v'hu pam rishoyna shakasav batora Zaken. The Lama Ella Boreik beAdam beAd Avraham. From Adam until Avraham, Esrim Doros, 20 generations. The Ein Ksivuhem Zikna Ella Bo only by Avraham. Hayumol why? Hayumol lidim banim ubnei banim. People did not age. There was no such thing as white hair, no such thing as folds and creases on the face. A youngster, the grandfather, looked identical, like a clone, like the grandson. So when you see someone, you don't know who you're talking to. That was the problem. That was a problem. Shenemar lohaya ba'olam hamusog zikna. This concept did not exist. V'lohayodim shenemar vayechal bahevel yemeim ushnoisam bebehala. Sheyeshavim ad shab. When? Okay, we go. I'm just reading through the words. Ad shabo Avraham v'nasan loy hakadosh baruch hu escho atara hazo shel zikna. It was a gift. It was a crown that Avraham should look different than his children, than Yitzchak and Yaakov, so that he would earn the respect of the people. Shenemar ateres teferes seva. The Tanhuma quotes this pasuk. Heichan atemotzi b'dech tzedakah timotzi mishu mihu miyod ze Avraham shekasabo ki yedativ leman asher yitzave esbonav acharav asher yitzave. What's the point? Lasos tzedakah umishpat. Since Avraham was the one that said that he commanded his children lasos tzedakah umishpat leman havi Hashem al beis Avraham. Bracha, so there it says tzedakah, he is the man. That's the pasuk. The end of the pasuk fits perfectly in the pasuk. Bederech tzedakah timotzei Avram that commanded his children to go on the derech of tzedakah, he's the one that was zecha to tzeferes seva. Amalek l'shbaruchu, Hashem said to Avram, Avinu, give you a gift. Chayecha she'ata rohoi l'zigna, you deserve this gift of old age, of looking old. L'kach nemar v'avram zarkein, period. Who else got this gift? Only one other person. David. We have David, Natal ha'tara hazo, shenemar v'yamelech David zarkein. David was zakin v'loma she'asa k'midas Avram shenemar v'hi David oisem mishpat utztaka l'cholamo. Another passage that says the same thing about David. David also, he did mishpat utztaka, and therefore he was also zaycha to be called v'amelech David zakein. Okay, another person that was zaycha to zikna was this week's parasha. It doesn't say it explicitly, but it's hinted to Yosef. Yosef. Where do we find Yosef with Zaycha? Because it says, Vayar Yosef lo Ephraim, b'nei shileshim. He saw three generations. That's pretty good. What does that mean? That means great grandchildren. So that the podcast emphasized that that means he was zaken. Why? Because he went in the way of tzedakah. Where do we find he went in the way of tzedakah? Well, support of the whole Mitzrayim, but also this parasha. Anochi achalkel eschem v'yastapchem. Do not worry. After Yaakov and Yehuda, told his brothers, "Do not worry. I will support you and your children." What?
But that just indicates chronological age. It doesn't indicate.
Okay, but the Medrash says this. This is a Bereishis Rabosi, Parshas Vayechi. There's also the three Midrashim that say the same exact thing. They take in Yosef. Yosef did staka on Achi Achal Kel Eschem, and he was zeichet to this bracha because we see it says Shilei Shem. No, it's not just longevity. We're saying longevity, but we're saying it's zikna. Okay. He doesn't say that. Even though he lost the years, even though he died, he was the first one to die. He died the youngest because he was rabbonus. If you go into rabbonus causes a person to die prematurely. Chazal say what?
When he says onochi achal kel eschem, that was a misstatement. In other words, that's why God. The next pasuk is that he died
young. Onochi.
He thought it was.
He took himself. He took too much credit for himself.
Starting to believe your own first book was.
All right, that's pretty scary stuff. Okay, let's go to the last pasuk of this parak. The pasuk says, "Toiv erech apayim migibor." Not the last. Second to last pasuk. "Toiv erech apayim migibor." It is better to have patience than to be a gibor. In other words, a zeu gibor hakoyvesh es yitzro. Umoyshel berucho. It's better to rule over your spirit miloikeid ear than ruling over a city. Pasuk lama beis namsudas begibar ki a gibar lo yiskaber kim b'maisei hagvura. A gibar only prevails over his victims. Only people he prevails over. Hamarich af yiskaber al kol b'sheva al tase. A marachaf has control over the entire world, over everyone, by holding back. Okay, that's a very deep idea. I'm not sure I really understand this. But a gibar, a person that's powerful, you're only powerful physically mighty over the people that you actually attack or you prevail upon. But a person that holds back, I don't know exactly what this means. Yiskaber al hakoil. B'sheva al tase, by holding back restraint. Moshe baruchoy mi shabiyodel l'klichvosh kaso, a person that can conquer his, hold back his anger, who toiv migibor halukid ir mivtzar v'chofel hadavar b'miloy shoynes. Lame bezin Rashi, Moshe baruchoy koivesh es yitzray. Okay, so this is restraint out of pure. Pirkei Avos. Let's go to the last pasuk. It ties very nice into this week's parashah. Last pasuk, b'chek yutal as ha-goyrol. In the chek means in the pouch, like, you know, in that big balloon, whatever they call that big ball. They turn the ball in order to the lottery. How come they always have a different person for the lottery every night? I haven't seen this in a long time. When I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of television at night, and they always have the news. What?
It was always the same.
Always the same.
I always saw someone different.
Same lady?
No, we were watching different channels. Different channels. What? Okay, but the chek here means that ball, that whatever, that pouch where you store all of the goodies. Okay, the Chinese auction, in that chek, yutal es hagol, is where you're going to have all of the little items that you're going to select from. But here's an amazing idea. But the truth is, nothing happens by chance. Ume Hashem kol mishpatai. The truth is, it is from Hashem all of the laws. Whatever will come about was already pre-decided. The lottery is fixed. It's fixed. It's not fixed by man. It's fixed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's the winner?
That's why the Yid publishes the lottery results every year.
In advance.
No, they publish it on the issue, so if they would publish the names of the winners, then all the schnars would know who to go to.
Is it possible, if you win the lottery, is it possible to hide the fact that you won the lottery? You win $1 million, is it?
No, it depends.
It's not so easy.
Conditions.
Yeah.
They say if you win, you have to go public.
So you have to go public. So then you finish.
Well, people dress up and disguise themselves. That's what you've seen. And they put on glasses and a hat. And
the name and address is, if the name and address is out there, then we're good.
They don't get the name and address, but they show who you are.
It's true, part of the thing.
Yeah, I think it's part of the
B'chek yutal agol me'ashem. Let's see if we have the mitzvahs. Pasuk lamed gimel b'chek. Here he explains and he elaborates what exactly is the lottery. B'chek derech metile hagol. It is the way of people who cast lots. Lehoniach pisikin, to take the little piece of paper or whatever dice or whatever type of item you're going to use to select a winner. B'chek, to put it in a pouch. Oh, lizulosai, or somewhere else, b'mokon nistar, or put it somewhere in some object in a hidden place. That's what the chek here means. The pouch where you're going to put all of the dice, all of the items. Umishaman, from there yikachum lehanicham al hamonos, and from there you will take it to put on the portions. I think ladas lemi ma lemi, who gets what? He's talking about an old-fashioned type of goro, which basically means you have. Boards. He has one board, another board, and you have prizes. You have prizes. On this board it says your name, and on this board it says his name. And someone just goes and he takes secretly. He takes these things, and you don't know whose name, and you put it on the prizes. That's not the way they do by a Chinese auction, right? That's not the way they do it. But you put it on the auction, and then everyone, okay, go check the merchandise. Oh. On this item it says Reuven, on this one it says Shimon, it goes to so-and-so. So that was the first, you put it in a place, and then when you're ready, you take it, and you put it on the merchandise, and that's really how they did the girl for, the Medrash says, Azazel and Hashem on Yom HaKippurim. There were two plates, there were two animals, and that's what they did. You just take it, and you take one, you pick up one, you put your hand into this box, into the kalfi, whatever it was, and one it said, La Hashem, what it says, La Azazel, and you take it out, and you put it, the one on the right, and you put it on one animal, the other one on the other animal, and then you look what it says. And hopefully the one on the right said La Hashem, and the one on the left said La Azazel. That would be a good sin if the girl came in that fashion. But that's how he's describing it. All girls were made. One more time, these words. On the portions, on the prizes. Lodas malami, who gets what? The Omar Bezeb. Al tehar haru al hagaru loma. Don't say that when you have a lottery to say loma shabab b'keri the his domain. It happens by accident. It's not true. Ki ba'od hitilu piska hagaru lachek. Before they even put the piske hagorol into the pouch ad lo hotzim before they took it out kevar nigzar mishpat hadavar mehashem. It already was decided. Hashem already decided who the winner was. V'zocha kol lecha b'chelkoy asher cholak lo ya'alokam imalach l'shpoch, already decided who's going to be the winner. Rashi pasuk lamed gimel b'cheg yutol as hagorol beino lebein atzmo adam matel gorol, a person secretly puts all of the things in place for the girl. Hashem kol mishpato liver to the side l'chol echad v'yachad chalko, who gets what? Okay, so this really
tells you that you're not a
lottery. Why not? That's a halachic discussion that there's no problem the whole law. Fundraising is built upon lotteries on Chinese auctions and raffles. We wouldn't be able to, and you allow l'chatil to bingo all these things. Anything that's a lot of gambling is also. Gambling, there's a fine line between what's called gambling and what is called a lottery. Yeah. But lotteries are definitely mut. Even certain types of gambling is mut. Certain types, smachta lekanya, when you're relying upon yourself, when you are personally involved in something where it depends upon your decision, that's called gambling. If you put money into a machine, a poker machine, and you just pull a knob, that's not totally in you. That's totally in other factors. When you're playing cards.
Oh, so you're a roulette wheel, you're allowed to play, but blackjack you
can't. Roulette wheel is you. That's not totally in you, and blackjack is with cards.
Yeah, you count.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Because with cards, I'm relying upon myself. I'm a genius.
Strategy.
I'm a strategy.
It's the next week FJJ.
A smach de lekanya. But things which are not totally in you, that's like a lottery. Lottery, that indeed, in Echnami, is obviously it's not a very good thing to get involved in gambling, but it's like someone always, what? No, you are, technically speaking, you're allowed to do anything which is not totally in you. The winner does not depend on your actions.
Poker,
it's strategy.
For a living, the Gemara explains, if you're doing it as a living,
recreation.
It's not the same.
Yeah, but if you take the money, there's a problem of gezel. Any type of game where there's skill or there is your decision, that's gambling. That's awesome. Because the only reason why you are willing to put away your money, to give up your money, is because you really believe deep down that you're going to win because you're relying upon your strategy. And then when you lose, the person is taking your money unfairly. It's gezel. And when you take his money, it's gezel. But when you have a lottery, when it's not in your hand, I pay $1, I get a ticket, and there's a machine that's going to pick a number, I have no control over the number. So when you give away the money towards the lottery, you're giving it away belev shalem. You're giving it because you know that it's not dependent upon your koyach. What?
You could pick the lottery numbers. Yeah,
but you're picking the number is padlock. It's not in your hands. It's not in your hands. When you're involved in a game like poker or blackjack, whatever, you're actually involved in making decisions and outsmarting your chaverim. That is where the problem is. Or let's say training, racing, even racing animals. Because there's also a skill to right. You want to go race horse racing. So there's also this chachma. There's chokhmah involved. You have confidence in a certain person because they have koyach. They are more skilled. They have a better animal. Animal comes from better stock. There's a better trainer. There's a better jockey, and so on and so forth. Okay, this pasuk is very important for this week's parsha, because this week's parsha, it says there's a medrash. The medrash says, "Hey asvu v'yagidu lechem eis asheriku lechem b'yachris hayamim." So Yaakov Avinu, let me just get a chumash. Gambling coming to the mountains.
Yeah.
Which he complained when you want a job?
Yeah.
Even my shkia.
There's an advertisement. This is a joke. So you're supposed to laugh. There's an advertisement.
When? Before you start or
both. Before and after. The advertisement says that if you're a compulsive gambler, call this hotline for help. Every 10th caller. wins a prize.
Today it's easy. When you used to do rotary dial, it was a pain to make that call. Today, you repeat it and hit the read dial button.
All right, that's not a bad one. That's one of the better ones. Okay, but in this week's parasha, let's conclude this week's parasha. Hey, also the Agidlechem Eidus Shayilchem Yachmes Sayamim. Yaakov Avinu tells his children, I want to tell you what about the coming of Mashiach. Yikra means what will happen accidentally, chance. Let me tell you all of the events which will happen by chance. However, Yikra is spelled in the pasuk with an aleph. Okay, let me find the pasuk. Vayomer hineach vanina sati vayikra Yaakov al bonu vayomer heasu v'yagidlechem eis shay yikra. Yikra is spelled with an aleph. Why is it spelled with an aleph? To teach you exactly what this pasuk says. One word summarizes the entire pasuk. You think it's an accident. You think it's a mikra with a hey? It's not a mikra. It's a yikra with an aleph, a calling. Hashem is speaking. When an event happens that appears to be an accident, it's really a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking and saying, this is what I want. Now the example the Medrash gives is, the Goralois for the Chalukas Haaretz. Where did for example, Zebulun, where did he take territory in Eretz Yisrael? Well, according to the symbol, on the coast, along the Mediterranean. That's according to the symbol interpretation. Some say that's not even really true, but that's not for now. But simply, he was given a piece of land which will enable him to easily travel port cities where he can travel to the entire world. Where did Osher get his portion? The Osher Shemein Lachma. You go through all the Birchos Yaakov, it's very clear, you can figure out where they will receive a portion in Eretz Yisrael. If that's the case, why was there a need for a goyel? Later on in Sefer Yeshua, he makes the goyel and gives everyone land. It's exactly what this pasuk over here says. The pasuk says that the chek yutales hagoyel, Yehoshua divided the land, he cast lots, but the truth is, Umei Hashem kol mishpato. It was already pre-decided. The goyel that Yeshua went through the motions was already decided through Ruach HaKodesh. Yaakov Avinu already predicted through Ruach HaKodesh what exactly each shevet is going to get. And this is a marshal for us that every single thing that happens in this world, just like Yaakov here is telling the Shvat's children, what's going to happen to them, where they're going to live, and later there's going to be a goyel, it's going to be a goyel, that entire, all the brachos are really introduced with the word Yikra. You think later on in life, things are going to happen by accident. This will happen, that will happen. I'm telling you right now, I'm calling to you, I'm speaking to you, and I'm telling you through Ruach HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you and he's telling you this is what's going to be. Nothing happens in this world by accident. Yeah.
Does this at all tie into the Gemara and Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav Ein?
It's predetermined. We have a predisposition. We do have a mazel, but the Koyach HaTfilah can change our mazel. The Koyach HaTfilah can change the mazel, but things are predetermined or meant to be in a certain way. All right, there's something else I wanted to mention. I don't remember. I don't remember. Hopefully for next time. We'll stop over here.